And we are back. Again, you are listening to Nuestra Palabra, Latino writers having their say on the air. And we, of course, are bringing you the literature part of our show. We are joined on the air right now with author Brian Swain, Brian Kenneth Swain. Brian, are you there?
I am. How are you, Leanne?
Great. How are you?
Very good. We haven't talked in a long time.
I know. That hasn't stopped you from writing.
that has certainly not stopped me from writing.
You know, we'll get to your new book, Sestina, in just a few minutes, but I want to just take folks back a little bit because you actually, the first book that I read that was your book was The World Hunger, which was back in like 2007, I want to say. Was that your first book?
It was my first novel. I had one small poetry book before that.
Ah, okay. And, you know, we just to let folks know, you actually used to live in Houston. You actually used to be part of KPFT as part of the program council, and that's how we met.
That's correct. I mean, I've been in San Antonio now for about 3 years, but I still get back to Houston from time to time. In fact, I'll be back over there in a couple of days.
Oh, great. Well, you'll need to swing by. I know you're going to be doing some more interviews on KPFT as you're making the rounds. You need to set up a reading so folks can come and come meet you and buy some of your books and get them signed. Actually, this book here, Sestina, the first book that I read, as I mentioned, was World Hunger, and that was more of a sci-fi book. And I really enjoyed that because I'm a super big sci-fi fan.
Yeah, it's a little different. It seems like everything I do is a completely different project from everything else, which of course drives, you know, publishers crazy because they want to pigeonhole you into one thing, right? But everything is kind of a different direction.
Well, keep resisting. I like that. Of course, you know, you wouldn't have been part of KPFT if that wasn't the case. So
there you go.
So tell me, how many books have you written? How many novels have you written?
Sestina is number 6 and my third novel. There are two poetry books and a collection of essays that came immediately before Sestina.
Shaking it up a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. And I know for this one, it's been, I like one of the, one of the reviews that I really enjoyed reading after reading the book itself. It's a great review. I just want to read it right now before we go any further, just to introduce the book a little bit. It's, of course, by Michael Lieberman, who's written this review. It's, Sestina is a terrific book. If you like well-crafted mysteries with unanticipated twists and turns, you will love this depth imaginative novel. Disquieting events immediately following the crucifixion trigger a plot that toggles mostly between Michelangelo's Rome and modern Italy. Other than saying people die, things are stolen, and philosophies are shaken, I'll add nothing. I hate spoilers, except that as a bonus, you will learn a lot of fascinating church history and may be able to paint a fresco when you are finished. Don't miss this book.
I hope other people can paint a fresco. I know I certainly can't. I've tried a lot of artistic things over the years, but painting is not one that really turned out too well. Michael, by the way, the fellow who wrote that is a Houston guy. You may have run into him. He writes right there.
Only when I need a doctor.
That's where I met him.
He's a brilliant poet as well. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's awesome.
Okay, and of course, with this book, tell me a little bit, what made you want to write? You write different ideas and your themes are different every time. What drew you to writing about Michelangelo, Rome, and modern Italy?
this started out, all of my fiction starts out with kind of a what would happen if idea, and then it kind of launches from there. And so the germ of this idea goes back a few years, and the idea was what would happen if an earthquake took place around the Vatican, and a portion of the Sistine Chapel ceiling broke away, and in the process of repairing it, they discovered something interesting underneath the painting. And I didn't know at the time what that something interesting was going to be. But that became the idea that sort of kind of noodled around in the back of my head for a long time, and it turned into this idea of in one of the earlier interviews you were talking about controversy, and I like to think this is a somewhat controversial story. I don't know that I'll succeed in actually getting on the banned book list, although that would be pretty cool.
Keep trying.
But the idea is, well, what if the crucifixion, what if the resurrection part of the crucifixion story didn't happen the way it's described in the Bible? What if it happened in a different way and Christ's body actually remained here on earth? And there was this bunch of guys whose job was to sort of take care of this incredibly important artifact, this foundational element of Christianity. And so that's kind of the premise of the story. And it spans a very long time. It actually starts at the time of the crucifixion, and then it spends a while during the time of Michelangelo and the Renaissance, and then skips ahead to the present day when this earthquake happens. So it's it spans a couple thousand years in time, and it addresses
thousand.
A lot of really tough theological issues that were a lot of fun to play with.
Wow, that's pretty intense. I love it, but at the same time, I mean, for folks that are snobbish, they'll be like, "Hey, that sounds just like a very thriller plot, and we don't like books that are cool and interesting." But then you also for those who are elitist, you named it Sistina.
Yeah, which is the Italian version of Sistine. But, and people, that was the working title from the beginning, and I just got kind of stuck to it. And down the road, people said, well, you need something that tells people a little more about what the book is about. And I thought about it, and I just, in the end, it kind of worked for me. So for better or worse, it is what it is.
But I love it because it does allude to this higher form, poetics, but you're combining all these different writing genres. And you're also doing it in a very new media sort of way because you also have a brilliant voice. I'm trying to do a brilliant voice right now. A brilliant voice.
You do that every day, right?
Well, thank you.
That's where Ryan sort of comes into the picture because, in the past, even though this is my sixth book, I'd never done any audio books because until very recently it was this profoundly involved process that you had to go through. And if you weren't going the traditional publishing route and had all the access to their resources, you really couldn't do that. But in recent days, there's been this new platform created under the Amazon umbrella that actually brings together authors with actors and voice talent people and so forth. And so that's how Ryan and I got hooked up. And, I'll put in a plug for him. I mean, the guy is is going to be the Olivier of audiobooks, as far as I'm concerned.
I think he's going to appreciate that. He's actually on the line with us now as well. Ryan, how you doing? This is Ryan Metzger. He's the audiobook engineer, a reader. What's the title, Ryan?
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Voice author.
I guess I'm the person in charge of putting the voice to such a wonderful novel.
That's great. We do have to come up with a name for that, though.
Right. I think it's important. I actually wouldn't mind. I think doing that as a side job.
I will copyright it, and then every time someone says it. But so how does that process work? So then, Ryan sends you the book, and then you got to go through it, and then we as writers.
Well, there's actually an audition process. It's interesting.
Love it.
because literally you go on this website and you put a little sample up, and various people who think they like the idea and who want to do it, they read that little page or two, and they post it, and the author comes back and listens to them all and basically says, this is the one that I like.
Wow.
And I was so blown away by the one that Ryan did that I quickly deleted all the other ones, and here we are. And oh, by the way, he's already knows that he's on the hook to retroactively go back and do the previous book too. So he's going to be busy for the next few months.
Well, and we do have to get to Ryan reading it. But Brian, really quick, what about his adaptation? Because of course we're writers, but we don't want to dismiss that Ryan does bring a talent to this. What about his rendition captivated you?
I liked it. I love the overall voice and the tone and so forth, which by the way doesn't sound anything like what he sounds like when he's just having a normal conversation. I guess that's part of the whole voice actor thing. But I also like when in particular, what really struck me is when he's doing dialogue. You hear the different, if you go back and there's a posting on my website of the prologue, and it's got a fair amount of dialogue in it. And if you listen to the the interpretations of the different voices of the characters. It really just, for me, it just really comes to life.
Wow.
Quite striking, yeah.
Okay, we got to put Ryan on the spot. Ryan, I don't know if you've got a paragraph ready. However,
sure, absolutely.
You know, I want to make history here. So for all our listeners, we've never had...
I was going to say the same thing. We've never had an author listen to somebody else read their work on the Nuestra Palabra airwaves.
And I want this to be the first of many. So,
okay,
Ryan.
Well, there you go.
Are you ready? Brian's talked you up quite a bit.
Brian and Ryan. Are you actually...
Are you ready?
We get ourselves mixed up quite a bit. I think I have not even posted, and it's because it was from his mouth. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Part of the third chapter, actually, is... They are coming, my brothers. As certain as tomorrow's sunrise, they will march on Rome. My sources say De Foix has already camped and is 50 miles from Ravenna. Galimberti cannot conceal his agitation. We have sworn to protect our secret. We have sworn to protect our predecessors, to each other, to Almighty God himself. Your zeal is commendable, Your Excellency, but you work yourself up for nothing. The politician replies, trying to calm his friend. The challenge you propose is formidable, particularly with the current climate of fear that pervades the city. Unnecessary fear, in my view. I have heard only this morning that De Foix himself was slain at Ravenna. Surely we could confirm such an enormous possibility before we act rashly. Remember, it does our cause no good to secure it against the French, but in the process... reveal it to others outside this body.
Whoa!
Wow, you do sound
That's
very
so cool! It's like Clark Kent and Superman. That is so cool. That was the audio rendition of Sistina, the new novel by Brian Kenneth Swain, a friend of the radio program.
And Ryan Metzger was the reader doing the audio work for the book.
Very cool. And again, a first for us. And thank you for showing us the way.
We'll set aside 12 or 14 hours, and we can come back and write the entire book
great,
on the air.
Yeah, you know, it would be nice to just have a radio station where I just have to sit there and read to people.
Oh, man. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Actually, I remember Pacifica used to have those marathons, but of course they had folks reading famous works during one of their fun drives, one after the other. Famous people would come in and read. I forget the book that they read.
You know, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
This all started for me because my grandfather, when I grew up, my grandfather lived in Cleveland and I lived in Indianapolis. And once a month I would get an audio tape in the mail. And my grandfather would sit there and read stories every night, and then he would send off every month. So every night before I went to bed, Grandpa would read these stories.
Wow, that's truly amazing and touching. I wish I could have experienced something like that. I mean, do you still have those tapes now?
I do, actually. I burned them to CD, and I have three children, two under the age of three. And I sit down with them every once in a while and play those CDs for them. And I've already started recording some of my favorite poetry and some of my favorite works on CD so that way down the line they can give them to their children.
That is so cool. And if we're sharing, actually the first audiobook I heard was because of High Tech Aztec. We were driving forever towards El Paso, which we'll never do again. We will never do that again. We will fly next.
A long drive.
Oh, yeah.
But it was Sherman Alexie. It was we listened to Sherman Alexie, and I had never experienced the genre before, but it was fascinating. And it, like you're demonstrating to us, it's a different approach to the art form, and I think it does give it a new life. So,
and it's a different outlet because there are plenty of people out there who simply don't sit down and read physical books, but who listen in the car, they listen on the way to work, they listen on the train, whatever it may be. It's a different segment of the population.
But it taps into this, like you just alluded to, this human desire to share stories, to hear stories, and how wonderful to do that. So, it's a wonderful collaboration. Well, hey, congratulations. Well, congratulations on the new book, Brian. Thank you so much for keeping us posted.
And bringing
Tony,
Ryan...
let me throw one quick thing out here before I go, because I recognize that I am not by any stretch of the imagination a Latino writer.
I feel obliged
to throw a shout out there to somebody who's coming to town who is a fellow that you've probably spoken to, probably the best Mexican writer ever, Luis Alberto Urrea.
What's up?
He's coming to San Antonio in about 3 weeks.
So
check out, look on the Gemini Inc. website. It's the writer's, it's sort of our version of Imprint that Rich Levy runs there in Houston.
Yep.
And you can find some information about that, but this guy is such a rock star. I just love him to death.
In Bend, in Arizona, I think he's got like several books out there. So dangerous writing coming to San Antonio. Thanks for letting us know about that, and we'll make sure to blow up at that as well. And we look forward to your reading here in Houston someday soon.
All right. Excellent. Thanks again, you guys.
All right. Thank you.
Great meeting you, Ryan.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Great meeting you guys.